Friday afternoon. Thanks so much for being here. All right, I want to run another topic by you. There is, it was in the Current this morning, this op-ed. I think it's today. Yeah, Friday. Eric Brandt is a cardiologist at Yale University School of Medicine, Yale New Haven Hospital. And he wrote this thing on meat and how dangerous it is. The headline is, "Hot Dogs Are Cancer Logs. It's time to put a tax on meat." I wanted to find out what you think about this. I want, because he says we're totally crazy the way we eat. And listen to this. Red meat doesn't only kill humans. It's also killing the planet. The majority of the Amazon rainforest clearing is for raising more cattle. Somehow the human race did it. We found a way to destroy both our own health and the health of our planet. The data are clear. Diets in which people get more nutrition from plants and less from processed foods or animal products lead to people maintaining a healthier weight, reporting less cases of diabetes, having fewer heart attacks and tumors. These people also live longer. But as a whole, Americans are now living shorter lives than they were just a few years ago. And a report this week found that the number one cause for death is heart disease. Although we were once seeing a rapid decline in heart disease, this trend has slowed. And it is now unlikely that we will reach the prior goals from the American Heart Association. Lifestyle patterns such as diet and activity now account for more deaths than any other cause. So the question for you is, he's advocating for a tax on meat. He wants poison warnings on things like hot dogs and processed meats to warn us away from the danger of our own consumption because we are so dumb about how we eat. What do you think about that? If not a tax, he says, then what about a warning label? The World Health Organization classifies processed red meat as a class one carcinogen. Other items on this list include tobacco and plutonium. Hot dogs are actually cancer logs. Regular, old, unprocessed red meat doesn't get a pass. It falls under a class 2A carcinogen. So no, that grass-fed organic slice of red meat is not good for you either. Instead, consider how many lentils, beans, nuts, and whole grains you could buy with that money. So this is from the cardiologist, a cry out for people to get smart about diet. Your reaction, are you ready to give up meat? Are you ready to endorse a tax on meat? And should there be a government ban, perhaps, on processed red meat, since that is the number one worst carcinogen, according to this doctor? Is this crazy leftism? Is this where we are coming to in terms of our understanding of food? Do you think in 20, 30, 40 years we'll be all done? 10 years maybe, all done eating meat. 860-522-9842. Now, I grabbed lunch today and was quick to say to my wife, why don't we get a burger? You in the mood for a burger? She said, you just read that article. Well, it takes a while for change to happen. What are your thoughts, please? 860-522-9842. So this is a big question. It's a big question. We are meat eaters. We are carnivores. They say, these doctors do, and it's not the first time you've heard it, but this guy's just putting it in pithier, more powerful language. We are killing ourselves eating meat. Are you willing to change your diet to live longer? Or is your answer, that's okay. However long I live is all right. This is how I'm going to live. 860-522-WTIC. Jamie in Middlefield. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Todd. All about the eat meat or not eat meat, huh?
What do you think?
Well, I think sometimes you have to look behind the veneer of the headlines, and the cancer logs are very catchy. But in my opinion, a lot of times this is really the animal rights agenda. So I'd like to look at this gentleman's other background. You know, hey, it's great to have an animal rights agenda. He has that freedom to do so. But, you know, ultimately we're Americans. We decide what we want to eat. I'm all for balance. I'm all for yin yang. Have a hot dog and serve with Korean kimchi, man. It's good. Right?
Well, that's how I approach it, because I don't, yeah, I've seen too many studies in my lifetime where people jump to conclusions and say, okay, you know, coffee's bad for you, salt's bad for you, salt's good for you, coffee's good for you. Coffee causes cancer, coffee cures cancer. There's a lot of misinformation that gets disseminated off of partial studies and such.
Almost a day does not go by where we hear food information that something is bad for us or something is good for us, and you got to look for the messenger, you know.
Yeah, but how do you
influence it?
How do you come down on which thing? So you say this guy. What was it you said about his bias? Maybe he just wants to save animals.
He may have an animal rights agenda. You know,
he may have a human agenda, save human lives agenda. He's a doctor. Don't you, in your heart, believe that we're better off eating more vegetables and less meat?
I mean, it's all about balance. I'm not here to tell people what to eat or not to eat.
Well, I'm asking you about what you tell yourself to eat. Do you think that you're better off having less red meat?
I personally believe it. Oh, absolutely. I generally feel better when I have a falafel sandwich, to be honest, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately we're a free country, and I just don't think it's the place for any government. Sure, health professionals, that's fine. They can advise. But
okay.
When they do the catchy headlines with the cancer lies.
Okay, so you don't want, would you object to warning labels?
Absolutely. Surgeon General, I mean, I think it's just common sense.
Would you object to taxes?
Hot dogs and do it every day.
Would you object to tax, small tax, to shift people's behavior?
Totally object that. Absolutely. it's another sin tax, and ultimately that sort of thing makes me think they're just trying to raise money off of people's habits.
Okay.
That, like the soda tax and so on.
Jamie, thanks so much. You set up this topic beautifully. 860-522-WTIC. The doctor in the Current today says hot dogs are cancer logs. He wants warning labels on processed meats. They're the most dangerous carcinogen you can eat. He wants taxes to discourage the behavior of buying red meat. Your thoughts, please. Kim in Simsbury. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to weigh in on your conversation and just to say that I think even this conversation goes back to the previous conversation.
What we were saying about the media and disinformation, misinformation?
Correct. And I think people are so confused at this point because we hear so much about what's healthy, what's not healthy, and it seems to wax and wane between seasons and politicians and dietitians. And I think some people just said the heck with it, and I'm going to eat whatever I want.
Well, what do you say?
Well, I eat a mostly plant-based diet. I do have some, high cholesterol, so I try to eat a mostly plant-based diet, throw in a little bit of fish once in a while, but even that apparently has a lot of mercury and toxins in it. You have to be careful about that, too. But
you're basically coming from the same place in terms of diet that this doctor is.
I think so, yeah. And I have seen an improvement in my numbers, enough so that I'm able to stay off medication, which is one of my goals.
But why aren't you extrapolating this out to the world? Why aren't you saying, well, it would be great for the government to discourage the consumption of these unhealthy meats by placing a tax on them? Make them more expensive.
Well, I don't know that I want to go as far as taxing. I think we're taxed out. But I do speak about, I do talk to family and friends about it if they want my opinion. I've kind of learned with age a little bit that not everybody wants your opinion crammed down their throat.
Well, that is for darn sure.
I do what I do for me, and I don't begrudge anybody doing what they want to do for them, I suppose. It's the same with drinking and smoking.
Sure.
and all of that.
Okay, Kim, that's interesting and good to get your input. 860-522-9842. Kim is interesting, isn't she? And even the caller before her, both saying the same thing. Oh, personally, I've cut back on them. Personally, I think plant-based is more healthy. Well, what's going on? Louise in New Britain. Hello, Louise.
Hi. I'm a little confused about the meats. mean, cancer producing, because it's bad for cholesterol and all that, but we're, you know, being careful to buy, when we buy processed lunch meat, mm-hmm. it says nitrate-free.
Mm-hmm.
There are not just the red meats, but like turkey and all that. And they have some that are nitrate-free, so they have like celery powder, brace, whatever, and they're still delicious, and you're not getting all that. That's what cancer is producing, I think.
No, well, he's saying their processed meats are dangerous. He's saying red meat is dangerous, even if you're getting the fancy, expensive stuff at Whole Foods that's all everything good.
All right, but how about the nitrates?
He says it's all bad for you. Don't eat meat. You're better off eating plants. And
well,
but yeah, go ahead.
I agree, but if you're gonna, then you know, avoid the nitrates and eat the better, more natural.
Well, that's probably making the bad thing a little better, according to him. I guess that's what he would say to you. But the larger question is, why go in that direction? Why be so addicted to processed meats in the first place?
Yeah, but you're saying red meats, too. Would you mean like a steak or something?
Exactly,
that
wouldn't
yes. That would be processed.
Anything beef. He's saying any beef is dangerous. Processed is the most dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But he says if you're eating red meat, you're eating a 2A carcinogen, he says, instead of a...
I don't get that, because I think they're confusing two different things.
Well, I don't think he's confusing...
Saturated fats versus carcinogen preservatives.
I was surprised by the carcinogen thing, too. We're going to have to do more research on this and get more guests on, because I don't quite get it. John in Hebron, can you do it in 30 seconds? John?
Hello?
You got about 30 seconds. Can you give us a quick comment?
I can't give you a quick one, but I can run it down for you.
Well, if you want to hold on until after news, you can.
Yeah, I'll hold on.
Okay. Thank you for that, sir. 860-522-9842. We'll get a newscast. We'll get traffic and weather. We'll get you all up to date with the information you need, and then we will continue this conversation for the next half hour, because I find this very, very interesting. There's two parts of it. One is the health part of it and your own decision-making. But the other part is, what do you want government doing in terms of the role it plays? Do you object if, for example, eating beef is as dangerous as eating cigarettes? You okay with cigarette-style warnings on the packages? Let's find out how the ride home is going. How about a warning on the commute package? Mike Allen in the WTIC Traffic Center. No, indeed.
Oh, we ain't gonna take
not at all.
Oh, well, I'm gonna take it.
Done. We are done. WTIC. Okay. We're talking about health. We're talking about the op-ed in the Current today. Hot dogs are cancer logs. It's time to put a tax on meat by Dr. Eric Brandt from Yale Medical. What do you think? Do you like the idea of a warning of a skull and crossbones on your steak? We're going back to John in Hebron. Hi, John.
How's it going, Todd?
Go ahead, sir.
I shouldn't ask you that. I'm sorry. So my thought on all this stuff is, well, first off, we are omnivores. We're not carnivores. Humans ever since the inception of agriculture, we've harvested both animals and plants. And it's played an integral part in the evolution of Homo sapiens as we've been for tens of thousands of years to eat red meat. For somebody to come along now and say that what has brought us to our present evolution is now cancerous to us is a tad bit ridiculous, and I feel a bit irresponsible to be claiming as fact.
Well, maybe it has to do with a particular moment in terms of a combination of factors that, given the way we live life today, given the lack of exercise and movement and physical activity, that we can't absorb the punishment that certain foods put on us. Is that possible?
That's absolutely possible. And everyone, I have plenty of friends who are vegetarians, who are vegan. They get their protein sources from other places other than red meat. You know, I don't say anything ill about the way that they do their business.
Okay.
But you can find something ill for a person. You know, it goes from Republican to Democrat to meat eater or not meat eater. But when the other side shames one other side for doing something that humans have evolved upon, like Hulk Hogan, Michael Jordan, you know, like they didn't get there. They weren't physical specimens because they were vegetarians and they ate clean, ate quote unquote clean protein.
Mm-hmm.
They got the way that they were based upon eating what humans had eaten for the tens of thousands of years.
So if you're a doctor or somebody in public policy and you're thinking about how to keep large swaths of humanity from dying from heart disease and heart disease coming back as a leading cause of death, then is it unreasonable to say, given the way people live their lives and the level of obesity, maybe it's time to find a way, use the available tools in public policy to keep people away from these dangerous meats?
And is it not unreasonable to say that those same people should be living their lives in a manner that is more healthy to them rather than sitting on their butt all day and not doing anything and then expecting the food that they eat to compensate for their lack
well,
of physical activity?
That's a great question, but between the two things, it seems to me the food is the movable object, but that is the crux of the issue. If we now live life in a way that's dangerous, then don't we want to avoid foods that would accentuate that danger, given that our whole society is built around us sitting around doing nothing in terms of using our bodies? 860-522-9842. More calls coming up right now. Mike Allen in the WTIC Traffic Center. Sir. WTIC. So this is fascinating because what John just brought up, I mean, that's what this is all about. We now live in a way that is inhuman. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but that humans can't survive. We can't survive not exercising. We can't survive getting up, eating, getting in the car, driving for 40 minutes, sitting, going into an office, sitting in front of a computer screen for the larger part of 10 hours, getting in the car, driving home, sitting, having dinner, and then sitting and watching TV and going to sleep. And that's an average American lifestyle, not even considering the food. And I think the food is the easier thing to change. Now, I don't happen to think it's any of the government's business. And I prefer if the government mind its business for once in its life instead of trying to take over our lives. But nevertheless, in the culture we live in now, where everyone applauds the government interfering with every aspect of their lives, then and expects to be taken care of by the government, what are we going to do? We're going to end up with these warning labels. We're going to end up with control. If you have remember Mayor Bloomberg pushing in New York City to have a maximum size of a soda from a fast food restaurant? 860-522-9842. I think that's where the left is going to go with all this stuff. Juan's in East Hartford. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Michael. How are you? Todd. Speaking about Michael.
That's all right.
We stopped sourcing our food locally, and I think that has a lot to do with the quality of the food.
Well, I think in terms of the vegetables we eat, there's no question in terms of flavor and taste and I'm sure health that getting stuff from a local farm probably helps. But in terms of whether meats are good for you or not, I don't know if that's the case.
I'm a meat eater, so I'm staying out of the subject. On the misinformation part, I happen to be going through a little town called Iola, Kansas, and I ran across 8 farmers who pull together and buy chemicals together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they dust their crops, and they happen to be growing soybeans. So I approached them. I, you know, thanked them for the hard job they're doing farming, feeding our country and the world. And, you know, I felt that the pain they were going through. And they turned around and looked at me and said, "You boy are listening to CNN and MSNBC too much. Them people are telling you a bunch of lies. You're doing mighty fine."
Yeah, you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago and we didn't have time to explore it. Did you ask any follow-up questions?
I said, "What do you mean fine?" I said, "The only problems we had to replant the crop this year. Our insurance covered that. but we don't have any issues selling our crops. There's, you know, we're doing soybeans. That's what we need to grow right now. That's where we're going to make money. We have way, you know, there's all of this is just, I said, so what do you mean? You're okay? And their response was the only issue they had was the floods.
Okay.
I mean, the floods hurt them, but the insurance covered them, and they're in good shape.
Juan, thank you for sharing that once again. Appreciate hearing from you. 860-522-9842. Phil in Old Saybrook. Hello, Phil.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, it's going pretty well now that you've called. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to talk about char, like overcooking food with, you know, so that it turns black and you get the char on there.
Yeah, burning meat.
Yeah, burnt meat and stuff like that.
Okay.
I feel that that's cancer causing. I mean, you look at chimney sweepers, they had bad cases of testicular cancer because of soot, but I just think inhaling soot is not good for your body also. So that could be a major cause of cancer, something to think about.
So you recommend not grilling foods over live flames?
That, and so that they're overcharred. You're putting that stuff in your body.
Yeah, see, this is difficult. That's where things get difficult, because what tastes better? If you're going to have a piece of meat, I have to tell you, though, I don't know what it is with steak, but we get it very rarely. My wife picks them up a few days ago, we had some steak. And it was tough and not so appealing, and last time she got it, maybe a couple of months ago, I felt the same way. Like, I've lost my appetite for it. Do you feel that way about meat at all? Love sausages and, you know, the cheaper meats I like better. I love hot dogs. Probably one of the most glorious taste experiences in the history of mankind is a good dog. Agree? Mike, agree? Come on now. Yeah? It's too exciting for Mike. Oh, for me? It's too exciting? It's just the best. I mean, you put that thing in the roll and you throw on your favorite condiments. What do you want from life? A sausage on the grill, a burger on the grill, cheese melted over it. This opinion piece specifically goes after a red meat on the grill with cheese on it. And it's one of the most divine flavors there is. So what do we do about this? Gene in Harwinton.
Hi, Gene.
Yes, good afternoon.
Go ahead, sir. I'm doing all right. Go for it.
My dad was born on a farm, and he lived to be almost 90 years old, meat and potatoes every day of his life.
Yeah, but he worked his butt off every day, did he not?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he was a worker.
That part.
And I'm 61 years old, and I'm following in his footsteps. And not concluding, he smoked a box of cigars a week till the day he died.
Hang on a sec, Gene. I want to get a little more to this story, but we have to get a traffic and weather update. Mike Allen in the WTIC Traffic Center. Hey, Mike. Oh, yeah. What more do you want from life than a nice red grilled meat that's turned black and carcinogenic? That's beef at its best, is it not? 860-522-9842. Dan, Manchester. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Todd. I guess there's two ways to look at this issue with respect to the doctor's perspective on the red meat. So one is a legal perspective, the other one's a health perspective. The legal perspective with respect to taxation is that the purpose of taxation when the U.S. Constitution was ratified was to merely fund the general welfare of the United States, meaning that it would fund the government so that it could...
Meant to be a penalty.
Not meant to be a penalty, but to enforce the delegated powers expressly delegated to the federal government, and the same principle extends to state governments.
Would prohibit this kind of attitude towards taxation? If you have to fund the government anyway, and you know, I'm trying to look at this the way a court would look at it. They are expropriating as much money as they possibly can out of people, and what they say they want to do with it is kind of incidental to the fact that they're taking everybody's money anyway, isn't it?
But what they're trying to do is tax behavior. That was never the purpose of taxation when the U.S. Constitution was ratified. And it wasn't because they fought against excessive taxation by the British government. So why would they do the same thing to the people of the United States with the U.S. Constitution?
Well, I don't know. They're doing it. They're excessively taxing us.
Yeah, but they're doing it unconstitutionally. But the other perspective is the health perspective. You had an earlier caller touch upon the fact that human beings have always been omnivores, and that's true, and that the meat has protein in it, and protein is essential to have good health. You know, if this good doctor is so concerned about people's health, then why doesn't he advocate banning red meat altogether instead of merely imposing a tax?
Well, that's a good question. We'll have to get him on and ask. Thank you, Dan, for the call. I'm sorry, Gene. I was supposed to go right back to you.
That's okay. No problem. As I said, my dad and I grew up on a farm, and we ate red meat and potatoes every day of our lives. And my dad lived to be almost 90 years old and smoked a box of cigars a week. And I don't think I need the government sticking their nose into anything else in my life.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I do think it's interesting that the lifestyle. So, for example, somebody said this years ago. I heard that pancakes make sense for a family that's going out into the fields to work all day. Having all of that carb and all of that bulk in your body, you burn it off. But
well,
if you want
a good base for the day.
But if you're not a farmer, if you sit at a computer and you have your work consists of thinking and having conversations and sitting in a chair, maybe change is required.
Well, you know, you should try and look out for yourself a little bit.
In other words, people should self-regulate based on their own lifestyle.
Well, you know, you got to do everything in moderation.
Okay. That's reasonable.
You know, you can't get crazy, you know, and if eating meat is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Gene, thank you so much for the call. 860-522-9842. Are you with Gene? If love in you is wrong, you remember that song? Tim Farmington, hello.
Yeah, hi, Todd. About 2 years ago, as a matter of fact, a little bit more than 2 years ago, I watched a movie called What the Health on Netflix.
Sorry, you're breaking up, Tim. I'll put you on hold and come right back to you. Hopefully you'll be in a better shot for us. We'll go to Gene in Waterbury. Hi, Gene.
Hello. How you doing? People talk a lot about meats, but actually meats are really not a culprit. It's more your processed meats. If you go back to your natural type of meat and stuff that people eat, that was
listen to this. Listen to this op-ed from a doctor at Yale. Eric Brandt is his name. If not a tax, then what about a warning label on meats? The World Health Organization classifies processed red meat as a class 1 carcinogen. Other items on this list include tobacco and plutonium. Hot dogs are actually cancer logs. Regular old unprocessed red meat doesn't get a pass either. It falls under a class 2A carcinogen. Now, I don't know what these categories mean, but it sounds like he's saying all meat is bad, plant-based diets. And I've heard this from a lot of people in different aspects of health, that plant-based diets would eliminate virtually all of the major causes of death today. So,
hello.
Yes. So, what do you think?
Well, I think there is a lot of things with plant and stuff like that. But I think the biggest culprit people don't even talk about is your sugars and your bad carbs.
No question.
Which
that
is the biggest. Yeah. And the kids today, or that's all they do is eat all this sugar
and carbs,
and it comes back to you later on in life.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Gene. Thank you so much for calling, Tim in Farmington. We'll give you another try. Hi, Tim.
Yes, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tim. The cell gods are messing with us. Who's next here? It's Jane in Burlington. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Is this Todd?
It might be. Who wants to know?
I do.
Well, who are you?
Jane.
Oh, well, if it's Jane, then okay. This is Todd.
Todd, I was going to say, since you were talking about red meat, I'm kind of out of breath. I was running upstairs.
That's good. You need your exercise. Now you can have a burger with cheddar.
Oh, no. I've been a vegetarian for 31 years. No meat, no fish, because I love animals.
Uh-huh.
And I really wish people would consider cutting meat out and fish if they could, because those factory farms are like a nightmare for millions of animals, and slaughterhouses are worse. So I don't think people need all that protein. I'm as healthy as a hog.
So it sounds like no burger and cheddar.
Yeah. Well, the cheddar's all right.
Well, it's a animal-based food, so.
Right. In an ideal world, you know, they probably wouldn't eat that either. I don't know. If the cows were, like, idyllic and out in the field, maybe there'd be no harm in using their milk.
Would you predict, Jane, that that's where we are going, that over the next, whatever, 10 or 15 years, that we will move strongly in the direction of simply for compassion towards animals, that the mass processing of animals will start to wane?
I hope so. Do you think that?
I do.
Oh, I hope you're right.
I have a feeling that's where we're heading because of the global warming movement pushing on the use of land. And if you look at land use, that's, you know, separate from whether you believe global warming theories or not. Land use is an issue with regard to animals because it's the most inefficient way to grow food.
That's right, because apparently the cows take up, they're on so much of the land.
And it takes a lot of energy to grow a cow. It doesn't take much energy to grow an ear of corn. So that combined with the fact that there is cruelty in the whole process of processing animals, you know, that could be where civilization goes next. Jane, thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you.